You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Making Sang, first name May King, and welcome to the FOMO Creator Show. FOMO means the fear of missing out, and in business, it's a good thing. So if you want to know how to create that buzz, that excitement, that FOMO for your next event, conference, digital challenge, festival, award ceremony, product, service, book launch, you have come to the right place. Now, today we have got the incredible George C.O.C. Samuels with us. George is an expert at building community, and you cannot create FOMO if you don't have a community to cheer from the sidelines with pom-poms with you in the first place. So that's why we are going to be talking to George today. So let's bring him up to the screen. How are you, George?
Doing good. Pleasure to be here.
And it is so amazing to have you here with us. Now, at the start of the show, I always ask my guests, who is George C.O.C. Samuels? Well, I don't ask all my guests that because, of course, they may not know who you are. But today I want to find out who is George C.O.C. Samuels. Let's tell the world who you are and what you do.
Oh, wow. Yes. Who is George C.O.C. Samuels? So, yep, I'm a modern micropreneur. That's the nickname I'm going with at the moment. And I've been involved in community and tech for the last decade, been through many evolutions, but I've always been really passionate about the intersection of people in tech. And of course, helping people get shit done right through community. So being productive, you know, having a positive, productive culture, and integrating all that, you know, technology has to give in the modern age.
Absolutely love that. And we've got one of our regular viewers of the show, the fabulous Tim Lewis, who is just saying hello to everyone. Hi, Tim. Good to see
hello,
you.
Hello, Tim.
Now, I always like to find out from my guests how we met. I think it's a great introduction to how we met. I always like to bring, guest experts, people that I know, people that I admire. And so that's the next segment of the show. Now, it was the fabulous Anthony Chansamuth who introduced us via X. I don't know if you remember this this tweet where Anthony tagged the both of us together. He's such an incredible guy, isn't he, old Anthony?
He is. Yeah, he's my brother from another mother. So I was actually his best man at his wedding. So we go way back.
He's a great guy. That's amazing. Now, with the FOMO Creator Show, I always like to go through the ABCs of FOMO, starting with authentic authority. Now, this is where I like my guests to explain how they show up on the socials, on email, on newsletters, picking up the phone. How do you show up authentically for your community, George?
Yeah, you know, this has been an evolution. And I think I personally look at entrepreneurship as personal development, personal growth itself, because through entrepreneurship, I've been able to, I think, incorporate a lot of what I find interesting. And in that screenshot you shared, right, I've got essentially studying ancient wisdom, embracing emerging tech, and then, of course, yeah, building your own micro empire. So that brings together my fascination with ancient wisdom, the past, embracing emerging tech, the future, and then building your micro empire, which is to do with micropreneurship in the present. So all those three things together, and all of my content is really just an emanation of those three aspects. And so I try to always bring together seemingly unrelated things because that's personally my style. I see everything as connected, and that's how I show up authentically.
So what is it that we can learn from ancient wisdom?
Oh, I mean, you know, there's that saying, right? If you don't learn from the past, you're doomed to repeat it, right? And I think we see that play out in all facets of life. You know, it's really sad, but we also see what's happening with Israel and Palestine right now. Of course, we won't talk about that in this particular show, but there is so much from history there that is deep rooted. And I think sometimes you can also have situations where certain cultures, societies, people, when they forget their origins, their roots, they end up making the same mistakes over and over again. And many ancient texts talk about this, you know, that there are these cycles that are also predictable by the stars. And I know there are some people who don't believe in such things, but the deeper you look into it, you can see how it plays out time and time again.
Now, I'm also fascinated by the term micropreneur as well. It might be something that our viewers and listeners have not heard of before. So can you explain what that means?
For sure. So I think in entrepreneurship or in business, right, there's different stages. Everybody's familiar with the freelancer and the small business, the medium enterprise and the large enterprise. The micropreneur is actually for micro businesses, and micro businesses, according to the definitions that are found online, are typically any businesses that are earning less than $2 million with a team of around 5 to 10. And the reason why I say 5 to 10 is because of the different jurisdictions, right? So I think in the UK, it's 10, but in some other countries, it's 5. And the reason why I've been doubling down on micropreneurship is because with AI, with emerging tech, there's a lot of people who are able to make millions, tens of millions, right, with a very small team. And I think even billions now with a small team as well. And I think this is just going to increase with these tools because it's adding more leverage. And I think when we're looking at these small teams of less than 10, it actually relates to the ideal size of a wolf pack, which is kind of like, I have a fascination with wolves. And I find this really fascinating. So you can have a small team with a really large impact. And I think now and into the future, people are going to intentionally stay small while being able to increase their revenue due to the leverage that emerging tech is providing.
Love that. In fact, Tim has added a comment here with regards to ancient wisdom. He mentions that he does think that there's a lot of repeated historical mistakes. And I think there's definitely an element of truth in that.
Yes.
Now, the next segment of the show is BTS. No, I don't mean that K-pop global sensation. I mean behind the scenes. So, George, I was wondering whether you could explain how you show up and share a little bit behind the scenes of what you do in order to help micropreneurs thrive.
Yes. So, one, I love the fact that you've collected all these tweets. This is making this a lot more interactive. But for micropreneurship, I think over the years that I've been working from, you know, freelance startups and then even up to corporate and government, right? I've kind of traversed all different stages of business and I've seen all the different types of problems. Specifically for micropreneurs at this point in time, I think a lot more people are familiar with solopreneurship thanks to the likes of Justin Welsh, Dan Koh, and a few other solopreneurs, right? But there's an interesting thing when you dig into their stories. A lot of the times, the word solopreneur isn't entirely honest. And I think that's part of the problem for people who see that, because you're not entirely solo. The ones that are really successful and making millions, right? They have teams. It's just legally, right? They might just be the only, like the sole founder in their company, but they're subcontracting. And they have, you know, a team, maybe it's in the form of their spouse, a virtual assistant, you know, other sort of help within their communities. And so micropreneurship is just for that next stage. I feel like it's a more honest representation of what happens when you're moving on up. And so instead of being solo, like a wolf, right? And a lone wolf, lone wolves actually don't last that long out in the wild. I think it's glorified in the West and for any culture that's highly independent, right? There's nothing wrong with independence, But if there's anything I learned from wolves, is that they can be highly independent, but they understand the importance of interdependence. And that's where the teams come in. And you can do a lot more with the team when you move into doing things beyond just yourself.
No, I love that. And in fact, Tim's also added a response to which he says, it's actually very hard to do absolutely everything yourself and not really advised. And you're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, Tim, for example, is an absolute magician when it comes to videos. And the end credits, which I show at the end of the show, is one of Tim's masterpieces. Nice. Now we've got the wonderful Shahida joining us as well. And she mentions that she totally agrees. We're too small and outsource when we need to. You're absolutely right, Shahida. And thank you so much for joining us.
Can I add to that, Meiking?
Yes, of course. Yeah, sure.
So this is the interesting thing that I'm finding, though, with AI. It's because AI is, I think, introducing the ability for people to actually scale themselves through, say, digital twins, right? There's HeyGen avatars, which is getting very close to likeness. And so that's one way that you can actually start scaling yourself even through video on your own. The other aspect is AI agents. AI agents is also starting to replace the role of human help, right, in certain avenues. And I think this is just going to get better. So what this means is that the outsourcing, so previously we were outsourcing to, you know, other human agencies, but now you might be able to outsource to AI agents themselves, and they would be able to think, act on your behalf with your instructions completely autonomously. And this is both exciting and scary at the same time, but I think it is important to acknowledge that this is starting to happen already.
No, I love that. Now, this FOMO Creator Show is all about building community. You've showcased so far how you show up authentically. You've shown a little bit of behind the scenes of what you do. You've certainly shared little nuggets about, especially in the tech and the AI space. And the next segment of the show is create content for the lurkers, because we've all got lurkers on the socials, right, George?
Yes, we do. So
I just had a little handful of some of the tweets or posts that you share. You know, some of it is to do with ancient wisdom, some of it's to do with emerging tech, but you're always giving value on Twitter, but also on other platforms as well. I was wondering whether you wanted to go through a little bit about your experience in how people can grow and build their communities, you know, based on your experience of on how you've done it in the past.
For sure. There's definitely a lot of different ways to build community. And actually, a little while back, I was starting to build out a system called Community Dynamics, which builds on top of this other tool called Wealth Dynamics. I'm not too sure if you've heard of it before, but it's a system that was built by a guy named Roger James Hamilton. And he used ancient wisdom, so the I Ching and psychographic profiles and whatnot, to understand the different entrepreneur profiles, which I think is like actually really useful for people who are still struggling to figure out what game they should be playing as an entrepreneur. Anyways, going back to communities, I realize if you extract that and go one level up, for communities, that actually communities have their own personas, right? And why is that? From a cultural perspective, often I've found with communities, they often take on the characteristics of the original founder or the kind of the shared voice of the loudest voices over time if the founder's voice is I guess, not as strong, right? And we could probably have a separate discussion around the role of culture. But due to that, within communities, I've just noticed that these profiles end up having a very dominating effect and influence over people within them. And so when it comes to communities and the way that I've dealt with them, again, going back to sort of that analogy of wolf packs, I often think about starting small and seeing how that small group can stay really tightly aligned so that they are having, you know, a massive protective and productive impact on their ecosystem, while still interacting with all the other species within it. And so, you know, if you think about nature as well, you've got wolf packs, they're their own communities. You could have beaver communities, you know, bear. And if you look at a lot of indigenous cultures, they actually understood this intimately already. And so they would tie their own families to, you know, animal clans, right? They would associate a certain animal and share those characteristics. So I actually use this understanding with the communities that I build as well. I will take a look at like, what are the characteristics of the people that are being drawn into it? Try to identify their, you could call it spirit animal if you want to. I'm just doing this in my own head, right? When I'm working with them. But that allows me to understand, okay, if this is a, you know, a bear community, right? Or a bear clan, and they've got these particular traits, then how I incorporate technology or how I incorporate certain systems and processes are going to be aligned with those sort of characteristics or behaviors, right? Because I think a lot of the times when people are talking about communities, whoever is the one instigating or looking to manage, they're going to try to impose their personality onto that community. Now that can work, but often if you've ever struggled with building a community, this is usually why there's tension, because you will have certain traits. And if you thought of yourself as an animal and with other animals, well, you know what happens when different species sort of like intermix, right? Misunderstandings, miscommunication, et cetera. So that's a little bit of insight into the way that I've built, scaled and managed communities.
I love that. And so do you feel that with the emerging tech like AI, that can help to temper those potential conflicts that we have with growing our community then?
Potentially. I mean, you could already see even before AI became popular, social engineering has already been happening for centuries, right? With or without technology, because it's like kind of human beings who are leveraging different tools, right? So in the past, say during war times, right, propaganda, whoever was the one looking for control and power, they would leverage whatever tools were available to them to be able to influence, right, those communities. And the same goes for today's time, right? We've got social media. Marketing is the ultimate form of manipulation, right? But it is always about how you look at it. So you can look at it as a bad thing or a good thing. And so with that, right, with these tools, with AI, I think it can help, but of course we can see how it can also damage. And if we're looking at a communal standpoint, I know a lot of these large social networks are already getting all of this psychographic information about us. And I remember back in, I think it was 2008. I can't remember when the Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal took place. But if you remember that, right, during the elections, Cambridge Analytica was using just three data points about you to be able to figure everything out about you and how to essentially manipulate you towards a certain outcome. And, you know, so these are the things that you also have to take into account when dealing with communities, that there's a fine line sometimes with, you know, what you can implement and what's ethical or unethical, because there's a certain level of manipulation that goes on.
Yeah. Now, Shahida was saying that with AI, do you see people meeting in person decreasing? How do you see the human contact being maintained? That's a great question there, Shahida.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there is a movie that I highly recommend everybody watch. It's called The Creator. It's a new movie. I think it's out in the cinemas right now. It's about AI, but it highlights my feelings about how AI is perceived in the West versus the East. Okay. If you are in the West, technology is becoming something that a lot of people are seeing as a negative, a net negative, right? There's a lot of fear around it, that, you know, AI is going to come in and take over and, you know, we're just going to be slaves to it. In the East, it's very different. And in this movie, Creator, it kind of highlights that. So in this not too distant future, all of Asia becomes New Asia, right? So they all combine and they've actually learned how to live with AI, robots, etc. Whereas the US in the West, they there was some, I won't spoil too much, but there was some tragedy, some accident that the US then blamed on AI. and then essentially created this, you know, this war against all AI, right? Because they said AI is wrong, AI is bad. And because the new Asia was harmonized with the tech, right? They then, well, of course, declared war on New Asia as well. And it's very revealing of the tension between the two mindsets. And this is why I spoke about culture, right? Because culture is something that is this invisible force that kind of just is above a lot of us that influences the way that we perceive and the way that we also adopt technology. And it's something that you always have to be mindful of whenever you're dealing with different communities, because, you know, facts alone isn't enough. You have to understand the context, which comes from culture. And those are the things that will influence the way that AI is going to adopt and the way that the people interact with the technology. So in relation to that question, will AI reduce people meeting in person? Personally, in the West, maybe. In the East, I don't think so. Because the fear is not the same. And I'll leave it at that.
That's really fascinating. There's a couple of comments we've had from Tim that I forgot to pop up. So Tim was agreeing with you that AI has tilted things towards more the micropreneur, which is great. So it'll really help us to build our community. He also asked, have we all given up calling it X?
Oh, man, good point, Tim. Good point. It's difficult. It has not caught on with me either.
And Shahida was just thanking you for your answer there, and Tim was saying that AI is like the new combustion engine. I think some in the West want to keep the horse and cart going. I think you're absolutely right there, Tim. Yeah, great point there. Now, this next segment is probably best described by this fabulous video that was created by Mark from Pocket Video School. Back to the FOMO.
Love that.
Now, we've been talking about building community, George. It's been absolutely incredible talking to you. Now, I've introduced you as the guy who creates fabulous community. And I've learned a lot from you from your XGSD challenge that you put together in September. If you just wanted to explain a little bit about what that involved.
Sure. So XGSD is essentially a sprint challenge that runs for 30 days that, you know, brings on participants to post videos daily on X. So this is for the 30 days. And, you know, it started out as a very simple experiment because I was looking into what Elon was doing in terms of changing the platform to be more like WeChat, right, in the East, you know, speaking about the West and the East. And so while I was seeing all the changes happening, I noticed that X, I think, is going to become increasingly a platform for people who are creators or want to, you know, be creators to leverage. And with a lot of these platforms, whenever there are these sort of changes, it's very important to kind of time yourself, right? Because if you see a lot of the well-known creators, I think what helped them is usually getting in at the right time. You'll hear this in their stories, right? And they might be, you know, continue to work for years, right, on those particular platforms, but they often get in at the right time. And so I still think now is the right time to get onto X and to start experimenting with video there, because there's just that gap, that hole at the moment. And I still do not see any X creators stand out just yet, but it's coming.
Lovely. Now, I just wanted to bring a couple of the people who were involved in that September cohort, including myself. So we've got the fabulous Stace, and we've also got the fabulous Osman as well joining us. Stace, I wondered if you wanted to introduce yourself to the world and let everybody know what it is you do.
Sure. My name is Stace. and I am
a continual learner. So anytime I get invited to do anything like this, I am all for it. I work by day in experiential marketing. So anything that I can do or learn new that I can bring to that, I love.
Wonderful. Osman's just stepped out there. Now, just whilst we wait to see if Osman comes back in, Stace, I was wondering whether you could talk about your experience of being part of the September cohort of trying out a new video every day and how that felt for you.
Well, at first it was super uncomfortable, but the group was so supportive. And day by day, it got easier. But then I found towards the end, I was having trouble struggling with things, but I knew that it's one of those things you just got to keep doing. If you forget a day, just get back to it. You just got to keep going. And the group reminds us of this quite often. And it was a wonderful experience, and I cannot wait for the next one.
I love that. That's what I loved about your videos. You could see that there were, you know, lots of improvements. You were really honest with your videos. And I love that. And there was so much humor in it as well. I could tell you were really enjoying the process and also how you were improving day by day as well. And we've got Osman back. So let's introduce you to the world. Tell the world what it is you do, my lovely.
Hi, Making. Hi, George. Hi, Stace. Nice to see you all again. Sorry about that. I was trying to mute my mic because I was coughing, then I ended up literally ejecting myself.
That's okay.
By the way. I run a venture studio, and the thing that attracted me to the George's Challenge was his continual evolution. I've been observing George. I've known George in the technology space for some time, actually. And I don't know how he does it, but he manages to keep this really consistent thread, but then infuse it with all of these fresh kind of new takes and views. But there's always this level of consistency where it's not like you're seeing this completely new invented personality, which builds the trust and adds to this air of authenticity. So as soon as I became aware of the whole kind of micro community focus, that felt like a complete continuation from the stuff I was aware of from kind of the previous iterations. And that's the thing, as an entrepreneur, life is, like George was saying, he's in experimentation mode with a lot of his activities. You're just generally iterating. And so that's what I do. I create startups and I partner with organizations, public bodies, who are interested in essentially exposing themselves to new revenue streams, finance officers who want to bolster their balance sheet, end up with additional share equity, CEOs who have a duty to, I guess, report to their shareholders how good they're doing. So, okay, well, if you had a bunch of startups who themselves are generating new revenue streams, this will help you to enter and dominate new markets. So that's what the venture studio model does, and that's what me and my team do.
I love that. Now, Tim actually thought that the AI overlords had ejected you.
Maybe I've been replaced by my Hey Gen avatar. Am I even...
Now, Shahida has a bit of a bizarre question, but a lovely question nonetheless, for George. So could you share about the beads that you're wearing? She says that my mini loves beads and crystals. Oh,
sure. Yeah. So it is turquoise. An interesting story behind this. I had a dream about this, and essentially in the dream, told me to go and buy turquoise. And when I looked up meaning about it, it was very relevant to this part of the world that I'm in Mexico. That's how this came about.
Amazing. Well, it's just been absolutely incredible talking to you all, sharing our experiences about being part of the the September cohort. Now, this segment of the show is FOMO promo and FOMO shout out. So for those of us who've been involved in the conversations, Fabulous Shahida and Tim, if you could just pop in a little sentence to explain who you are, what you do, and then I can pop it up onto the show. And Osmin, if you wanted to put in into the private chat as well, where you'd like to be connected so that people can find out more about you. And in the meantime, whilst we wait on that, I'll just put up this is where you can connect with link with Stacey if you'd like to find out more about experiential marketing. I mean, how amazing does that sound? We've also got George. Do subscribe to his newsletter because you'll learn so much from George, including the next cohort. So if you want to get involved in the November challenge and help you grow personally, I've certainly learned a lot by taking part in the September challenge and made some great new friends like Osmin, Stace, and a whole bunch of other people as well. You can get involved by going onto this link, but do connect with George across the socials, connect with Stacey on LinkedIn, and I'll just copy and paste Osmin's LinkedIn details as well. I'll do that very quickly, and we'll show that too. So this is where you can get in touch with Osmin Callis as well. So I think that's everybody there. So I know that Shahida runs a tea company called Divine Teas, and I'm officially one of the top 50 recommended speakers of tea in the world. And when she came into my community, I thought, oh my god, this is amazing, and her teas are incredible. She also runs a charity, a national charity called the Helena Kennedy Foundation, which gives bursaries to college students who are going to university in the UK. And in her spare time, she makes this fabulous organic turmeric tea as well. And it is incredible, absolutely incredible. The fabulous Tim, he is moving towards doing more visual effects and video, though admittedly he needs to update his LinkedIn profile, and he's still doing a YouTube travel show, and has got a couple of podcasts as well. Thank you so much for sharing, everybody. Just a couple of comments from George there from LinkedIn, which is great. Shahida, George absolutely loves tea as well. So there you go. There are a lot of tea lovers in the world. Definitely a lot of tea lovers in the world there. So I think that is everything. I think so. So, I don't know. Are there any final words that you wanted to share, Osmin, before we end this broadcast?
So, definitely recommend George's next XGSD challenge if you have the opportunity to participate. It's done several things for me, actually. It's improved, because it was video, it's helped me to improve my public speaking. It helped me to think around themes that I would not necessarily have thought about addressing, and pick topics and not be afraid to dive into things that you might have previously thought, oh no, I can't touch that, I'll never think of anything to say. And also have connected with great people, like the other people in his cohort, and engagement has been absolutely terrific. So it's been an amazing experience.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing, Osmin. And Stace, the same to you. Any final words before we end this broadcast?
Yeah, what Osmin said basically covers it. Like, I just feel like I improve so much better on everything. I can't talk half the time, so it's been really good practice. But yeah, all in all, it was a wonderful, uplifting, positive community community to be part of. And I'm very thankful that got to do that. And I look forward to the next one so much.
I love that. George, the fabulous creator of the XGSD challenge. Any final words before we end this broadcast?
Why are we stopping? I feel like there's so much more we could chat about with all four of us here together. I feel like it's a wasted opportunity. Final words. One, I love the structure of the show. So great work, Mei-King. How you've brought in people live, right, into your show. I think at the beginning you were talking about you can't create FOMO without a community. And I have to say, you cannot have a community without catalyzers like yourself. This is, you know, very key. Those would be my final words. And of course, yeah, join our XGSD challenge. If you join the XGSD challenge, we actually have a broader GSD global community. And so we may expand the GSD challenge out into a lot of different areas. Just stay tuned for that.
I love that. Well, it's been absolutely wonderful seeing you all, your lovely smiley faces, everybody. And I hope that you've learned a lot about building community. Do go and connect with George. Go and connect with Stace. Go and connect with Osman as well. And you'll be part of this wonderful cohort of people who are growing our micro businesses together. This has been the FOMO Creator Show. My name is Mei-King Tsang, first name Mei-King. And you have been watching the FOMO Creator Show. And if I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.